Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. I'm Dave Wilson. Jason French is here as well from Stutzman's to answer your lawn and garden questions. You can ask that question by calling 316-869-1330. That's 316-869-1330. You can also reach out on the KNSS Facebook page this morning as well. Hey, good morning, Jason. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Here we are kicking off the weekend. Tell us what's happening at Stutzman's today.
Well, we got a lot of different things going on. Of course, a great selection of plants able to handle this hot weather we're having. So you need to dress some things up a little bit. We can sure help with that. Something new we just got in and is just coming to the stores. Should be at all the stores today, even. Colorado peaches are ready, so got those rolling in as well. And we sell those, you know, by a pound or by a case, a 20-pound case, if people are wanting. So, starting to get into that harvest season with fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, I saw you guys posting about those in the stores this week, and I have to admit that I started salivating. Love those peaches. Those are so good.
Oh, there's not much better than a nice, cool, juicy peach when it's so hot out.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the heat here a little bit in our garden. What are some things we can do to help prevent that heat stress during these warm days?
Well, you know, the most obvious and most important thing is to keep everything watered and hydrated. Ideally, we'd like to water in the morning while it's cool so we don't lose some of that water to evaporation. We can get as much to soak in as possible, but deeper soakings are going to be the way to go. That encourages that root of whatever kind of plant it is to follow that water. If we water shallow all the time, we build a shallow root system, and when it's really hot, that's the area that wants to dry first. So that deep watering is going to be very important. You know, one thing, if say you go out this afternoon and maybe missed watering something and, you know, oh, that thing's kind of wilty, I probably should water it. Be sure to flush that water out of your hose. It's amazing how hot that water gets sitting there, and I've seen it cook the foliage hitting it. So make sure you can put your hand in that water before you water if you need to water when it's hot out.
Yeah, that's a good point right there. That is definitely hot water sitting there in that hose. Now, I saw a video on your Facebook page on some ways that using coffee grounds can help our garden. What are some of those ways that those grounds can help?
You know, coffee grounds are just another great source of organic matter. And, you know, we've talked about that lots of times. That's kind of what's missing a lot of times in our soil is that organic matter. If we have, you know, clay-like soil, well, the particles of the coffee ground are bigger than that. So, you know, they'll kind of help open up that soil and water can get in and out better. If we have real sandy-type soil that doesn't hold much water, organic matter holds water, so it will help kind of improve that. The coffee bean is slightly acidic, so, you know, our water is alkaline, our soil is alkaline, so that's, you know, another benefit to that. Now, it's best to kind of spread them around or kind of stir them in, or if you're doing a compost pile, you know, putting them in that and mixing them. We don't want just, you know, a 2-3-inch layer of just coffee grounds in one spot. So, you know, do kind of spread them around, or, you know, each day as you're done and you're going to make coffee in the morning, take the thing out and, you know, sprinkle it through the area. And Plus, I mean, why throw away something that, you know, not only can we use it, but it's the type of material that's most lacking from our soil anyway. So another great source of that organic matter for our gardens and flower beds.
Yeah, very interesting. Coffee gets us going in the morning. It can help get our garden, I guess, going as well. Hey, Marilyn has sent us a Facebook question already on the KNSS Facebook page. She says, I have an ant problem in my garden. How do I get rid of them?
You know, there's a couple of different ways, and depending on how, you know, severe it is, in general, most of the ants that we're going to find in our garden, they're not really directly a pest. Most of them do not feed on the plant or anything. Most of the time, they've just decided to inhabit that area. Now, there is one thing to watch for. If you see them up on the foliage of the plant a lot, you know, look around, because ants like sweet, sugary things. And a lot of times, if you have an aphid problem, aphids, as they feed, they suck sap out of the plant, and just even the internal pressure of the cell, it pushes this sap basically out through the aphid, and it's called honeydew, and it's this sticky substance there, but it's got a very high sugar level. So if you see them up on there, you know, check that out, make sure we don't have that problem. But as far as controlling them, you know, there are some things like the ant granular that can be spread in a garden. It has a vegetable label and very good at controlling, you know, ants and things that would come in contact, crawling insects. So that would be one option. You know, otherwise, if you've got really big mounds and like a large colony like that, you may want to look around and see if you can't find a bait to sprinkle around, where they actually take it down into the mound, and you know, it'll kill off from the inside like that and destroy the colony. And so that's a little more permanent if you have big, you know, ant mounds around where you can specifically find them and treat them. But in general, that granular works really well, and it's also going to help for things, you know, crawling insects, crickets, roly-polies, some of those other things that can kind of get in there and feed on our stems and things as well.
All right, Marilyn, thank you for your ant question this morning. If you've got a question about your lawn or garden, you can do what Marilyn did and send it to the KNSS Facebook page. You can also call us, that number, 316-869-1330, 316-869-1330. Let's talk about our yard here for just a minute, Jason, and the heat. You know, if we've got some brown spots, we've got a few in our front yard, how do we know if it's from the heat and the drought, or maybe it's just gone dormant?
You know, there are some different brownings happening right now. And so if you're seeing an area, and, you know, particularly if it's changing shape, growing, you know, continuing to die in that spot, we really want to check it out. And I usually take just even like a screwdriver with me out there to that spot. And, you know, first off, poke around at it, and, you know, poke around in some of the good grass as well. And just by how hard and what kind of pops up, you can tell if we're talking about a drought issue, or, you know, if that ground seems basically the same as moisture level as where we have green grass, then we need to be looking another direction. And a couple of different things with it. You know, one, we do have some fungus issues out, some brown patch, and I've had a couple of people in this week and got some fungicide for that. And usually that's kind of an irregular area. Kind of tends to spread, can spread with your mower too. So if it looks like it's been pulled out and is getting larger, you know, look for that. The grass is usually, even the dead grass, it's still attached. I mean, you can pull it up, it's dead, but it's attached to the plant still. That has affected, you know, the root and the crown of the plant with that fungus. So, you know, that would be something to look for with it. insects would be our third thing to look for. And I have seen a few armyworm issues around, and we usually see that really, if it's going to be a problem this year, we usually see that here over the next couple of weeks. So with them, that grass is pretty loose. They feed right at the soil surface, so a lot of the grass will come up. A lot of times you'll notice little brown, round little pellets. They're called frass, and as they have fed on that grass at that soil level, you know, that's kind of their poo, but it's pretty identifiable if you're pulling up some of that grass and you see these little round, look almost like little dirt balls, but that would be a sign, you know, that we have some insects. If we pull on it and pretty much the whole plant wants to come up, pulls up something from underground, or even a little bit of dirt wants to peel up with it, that's when you're looking at more grubs. And we're just almost to the time, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody had an issue with some already. Usually it's, again, another couple of weeks, but we're just kind of on the cusp of that. And they're below ground feeding, but they feed solely on that plant root. And so that's why when you pull it up, the whole plant comes up with it. So if it's pretty attached, I'd look drought or fungal issues. If the blade, the top is just brown and dead and comes loose, that's usually more of your surface insect. And if that whole plant kind of wants to come up when you pull, then that's more your root issue. So a few different things we could be seeing brown from. I know a lot of, and then sometimes you get a combination. It's, you know, a little bit dry as well as maybe having one of these problems. But yeah, this weather, and depending on where you are, I know Wichita, some of those areas have gotten some rain, but I know here Hutchinson area, we haven't had any for quite a while. And with these warmer weather, it sure shows up any deficiencies in our sprinkler systems.
Absolutely. Shows up really quick. Frass, that's the word of the day, Jason, right? Frass? Never heard that before.
Yes. That's what it is. That's the scientific polite term for it.
Okay. There you go. 316-869-1330. The number to call if you have a question about your lawn or garden. Lauren has called in. Hey, good morning, Lauren. What's your question for Jason?
869-1330. Well, it's a threefold question, Jason. Have a whiskey barrel totally petunias.
Okay.
And they've been doing well up until the last 2 weeks. And now it seems like there's no blooms on them. The leaves are very sticky. And we've had a couple even die out. But it's something that we water daily. And I guess, are we watering it too much? And what do we do for this stickiness? And what do we do to try to get the blooms back?
That's my question. What I would guess your main problem is, and if it's a large plant like that, it probably does need watered most every day this time of year. You know, and do be sure petunias are a heavy feeder, so be sure you fertilize it, you know, probably once a week or so with petunias to really get them blooming. But the main problem I think you have, and we did just have another generation of them happen not too long ago, is called budworm. And it's a little green caterpillar. A lot of times you can't even find them because they're the same color as the foliage, but they don't eat your leaves. So you have all the leaves on the plant. It looks pretty green, pretty normal, but a complete lack of flower. They have eaten the flowers and the blooms off of there. So, you know, a spray with a good caterpillar killer. There's a lot of different ones that'll kill a caterpillar. I like the 8 because I can use it on just about any plant possible. So, you know, I only have to buy the one thing, but a good spray with that, and then, you know, keep it fertilized and watered like it should. And I would say within, you know, 3 or 4 days, you'll see a bloom or two starting, and it may take, you know, a week or 10 days to really get back to blooming like it was. But that usually is what that causes. And as far as the stickiness, I mean, you can look and see if you have, you know, an aphid problem or something on it. That spray would help with it. But a lot of times, petunias just naturally, especially as we're hotter and warmer. I don't know the exact science of it, but they do get a very sticky leaf to them. It's not terribly unusual for that part.
What would you recommend as the fertilizer to put on weekly?
Well, I'm a little biased doing this program. We have a Stutzman's all-purpose. It's a water-soluble one that we use to grow all our plants that you can buy. But if you have one of the other brands of the dissolve in water, they're usually kind of blue or purple colored. Those work the fastest and the easiest for petunias.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
Lauren, thanks for your call this morning. If you've got a question for Jason about your lawn or garden, again, the number, 316-869-1330. That's 316-869-1330. And again, you can also send your question via the KNSS Facebook page. Linda has done that, and she says here, what is the big green worm with red horns on her tomato plant?
Yes, that's another one. Caterpillars are kind of the pest of the day right now. There's a lot of them out, and we mentioned army worms. We talked about the budworm on the petunia, but that guy right there is a hornworm, specifically tomato hornworm, and they can start out small, but when they're full grown, they're as big and as long as my thumb. I mean, they're a great big thing, and they have this, they're harmless, but they have this scary looking horn on one end of them. Looks like a big stinger almost, but extremely hungry caterpillar. Tomatoes, like all of a sudden, and usually it's more towards the top of the plant, but you'll have that little kind of stem, I guess I would call it, petiole that comes out, and tomatoes then have little leaves that come off of that. Well, they'll eat all of the leaves off and maybe some of that, and so you've got this little stump sticking out, these little bare green where the leaves were, and that's usually your first thing you notice on that. And if you look around, you'll find them, and depending on how bad they are, I mean, one thing, they're so big that if there's just a few, they're not too hard to physically remove and give a good toss to them, and that'll take care of that. But if you've got a lot of them or you don't want to go that route, that 8 spray works really well, and it would also protect your tomato from the fruit worm. That hornworm doesn't bother the tomato itself, just the leaves of the plant, but there are fruit worms out that chew this little puck, this little scooped out hole, usually kind of in the top shoulder of the tomato, and that same spray would take care of them. It's interesting, those hornworms, their adult is that little, a lot of people call it the hummingbird moth or the sphinx moth. They look like a little hummingbird flitting around, but their young are hornworms, and there's, you know, tomato hornworms. We've had a sumac hornworm on our one of our ornamental sumac in the landscape before. I think there's a catalpa hornworm as well. So there's a few different species, but that big fat green one with the kind of reddish horn on it, that's the tomato hornworm. They also, that same tomato hornworm will eat in our ornamental plants, our flowering plants, sometimes they'll eat penta leaves as well. So you know, watch for that. But usually with them, they're so big, their damage is noticeable pretty quick. I mean, there's a whole leaf or multiple leaves just missing in an area. So, you know, that one's not quite as hard to spot as, you know, say the budworm that doesn't hurt the plant at all. The flowers just slowly start disappearing.
Linda, thank you so much for your question this morning. Dan has called in. Good morning, Dan. What's your question for Jason?
Hi, Jason. Yeah, I got Prairie Hill Vineyard, and I've had whole grape plants denuded just by one worm that got up there and started eating, picking, especially young plants. But my question is, I want to put in some perennials. Actually, I'm taking out a few grape rows, and I want to run rows of perennials that would add interest, especially when we have weddings. It gives a lot of color. So I'm looking at yarrow, bee balm, black-eyed Susan, catmint, geranium roseanne, Shasta daisy, Rebecca, and salvia, plus some other perennials. And my question is it possible just to seed those in, let's say I had about a 200-foot row or 100-foot row, and I want to put a whole row of black-eyed Susans or catmint or Shasta daisies or something that would really be beautiful. Do I seed them, or do I have to use plants? And your thoughts on if you were trying to create a whole row of flowers for interest, what would you use as well?
You know, you can seed a lot of those things. They don't come up 100%, but most of those ones you named are items you can get seed for. And, you know, a lot of times they can be directly seeded to that row, or sometimes people will start them in, you know, a pack tray, and then as they plant them as transplants as well. But it can be done as seed like that. Main thing that you're going to have to watch, going mostly from seed, you'll have to stay on top of your weed control, because with them coming from seed, you can't use, you know, pre-emergence and weed preventers and things until all your seed has sprouted and grown. So, you know, there is less cost and maybe effort to seed the area, but then there is a little more labor on the backside keeping it, you know, weeded and cleaned up until all of those plants become established. Where, you know, if you do actual plants to start with, you know, you can clear that area. A turf and ornamental pre-emergent could be spread along there to keep your weeds down a lot more. So, I mean, there's kind of pluses and minuses to it. The other thing would be how fast you're wanting it to be something. A lot of those perennial items, you would seed them and they'd kind of grow and just kind of be a small plant that first year. And it may take, you know, that second year, sometimes even a third year before they've reached their, you know, their full potential. So there is a little more time involved from seed, but that is a good way on most of those plants you named. They do all grow pretty easily, sprout from seed.
I've bought a lot of the yellow, the sweet potato vines from you, and as a lot of grasses over at the Wichita 13th and Tyler store. I asked them if they had any of these, and they don't. Do you have them in your Hutch store, or do you have them other places? Where, and then if I was to go buy, let's say, a bunch of catmint, where would you suggest I get it? Then I can set it in so I don't have to plant it by seed.
You know, this time of year, it's a little more of a challenge. It's more going to be the real heat-loving plants that we have a lot of, even in perennials, you know. And Rudbeckia would be one of those. I know here in Pleasant View, I do, not lots, but I do have some of that remaining. You know, there's a good crop of coneflowers right now and hardy hibiscus, but for us, most of that perennial production, we actually start planting some of those, I think, in 7 more weeks, so that they can vernalize, go through that winter, and be ready to go in the spring. And we usually start selling a lot of that about that last week of March, first week of April. They can handle, you know, the kind of weather we're having then.
Hey, I appreciate it. I'd love to grow outside of Wichita. Thanks for all you're doing.
Hey, thank you for calling in today. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, Dan, thank you for the call this morning. And you're listening to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. We're going to step away and get an update on Stutzman's with Mr. Ben Miller right now.
If your plants could talk, they'd all say Stutzman's.
Stutzman's Greenhouse.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, this is Ben Miller. Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. More with Jason coming up. It's been so wonderful to receive the much-needed rain and watch our landscapes flourish this spring. On behalf of all of us at Stutzman's, I want to thank everyone who has shared our passion and the healthy lifestyle of gardening with us. Be sure and visit one of our garden centers, as each location will be featuring an in-store manager special of their choice. Get ready for these hardy summer plants coming soon that will enhance any of your area. Again, this is Ben Miller. Have a great day. Enjoy this beautiful time of year and take time for family and friends this weekend. We hope to see you soon at one of our 12 garden centers. Now back to Jason and the Home and Garden Show, brought to you by Stutzman's Greenhouse and Garden Centers. Happy savings, and come join us in a healthy lifestyle of gardening.
At Stutzman's Greenhouse, everything's green with us.
And you are listening to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show this morning. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Wilson. Jason French is also here, of course, from Stutzman's. Jason, before we go this morning, maybe let's take another minute and talk about what you have going on as far as what kind of plants you have there at Stutzman's that we should be buying this week.
Yeah, we are full into those heat-loving plants, those summer plants. And, you know, not that the things you planted earlier aren't still doing well, but sometimes starting some of those other kinds of plants this hot isn't the best. So we've kind of gone through and selected that best, most heat-loving stuff for you, whether you want a 5.5-inch pot to go in a container and either make one or patch in something that hasn't done well. Have that, or you know, the baskets and the containers, that instant pop of color. We have all of those, buy two get one free, so a great deal on all of that summer stuff. You know, we talked about some of those perennial echinacea hibiscus we have in, and don't forget we got the Colorado peaches rolling in as well.
Yeah, a lot going on there at Stutzman's this weekend. Be sure to go there and check them out. Now, if somebody couldn't get through today with a question about their lawn or garden, Jason, how can they get a hold of you during the week?
Yeah, appreciate all the calls and Facebook questions today. But if you have questions during the week, be sure and drop me an email. And my email is the word questions at stutzmans.com. And if a photo will help with it, be sure to include it. I'd be glad to get back with you. You know, otherwise, save them up for next Saturday and we'll be back here doing it again.
Absolutely. A lot of great information again this week, Jason. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Great. Thanks a lot, Dave. Bye-bye.
And thank you for listening this morning to the Stutzman's Home and Garden Show. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. We invite you to join us next week. Same time, same place. Until then, have a wonderful weekend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.